What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breininger, inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gif. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Everyone, John Wertheim here. It is this week's Sports Illustrated Tennis Channel Tennis Podcast. The U.S. Open is behind us. You can see all the coverage on SI.com. But for our podcast this week, we are spinning it forward. We have our second annual podcast with Dirk Nowitzki, Dallas Mavericks star, future NBA Hall of Famer, all-around great guy, and above all, tennis fan. So Dirk is holding his charity event, his tennis event, September 16th at SMU at the Tennis Center there. Andy Roddick will be there, Tommy Haas, Mark Knowles, Owen Wilson, noted player J.J. Barea. This all goes to, this year it's going to benefit families recovering from Hurricane Harvey. We'll have a link to the Dirk Nowitzki tennis event that we'll put on the website. But Dirk and I talk tennis, what translate and what doesn't translate from the NBA to playing on this other court. We'll talk a little bit about how he spent his summer, how he manages his body. He's now 39 years old, 3 years on Federer. And again, just a fun conversation with an all-around good guy and an absolute A-list NBA player. So we'll bring him on now. Dirk Nowitzki, welcome.
Hey, John, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Great.
Everything good in your parts?
Everything good. Can't complain.
How much of the U.S. Open did you catch?
I tried every night session to catch a little bit during the day. It's hard, you know, working out and kiddos and stuff. But once they were in bed, the night sessions, I was usually tuned in. So caught a bit here and there.
Well, what was your best match? What was your favorite night session?
Oh man, it had to be. I saw the end when Delpo came back two sets down, and then and came back to win in five.
You saw that?
The atmosphere was incredible. So that was great. And I saw some when he beat FedEx. So that was awesome too. So and then he had unfortunately nothing left in the tank in the semis, but just.
Yeah, exactly.
That was pretty cool to see him get back there. It was pretty sweet.
Have you been? I know I've seen you at Wimbledon. Have you been to the U.S. Open?
Yeah, no, never have. And it's sort of right there and here in September when we're gearing up for the season. And back in the days, like I was always still in Europe getting ready and then coming back over late and jumping right into camp. So I've never been, but that's definitely on the bucket list. That and a U.S. Open night session, everybody said it's a must. And also, I want to do Aussie Open. You know,
right.
I was in Australia once, traveling for 6 weeks. Love the country, and it always looks so sweet. So that's another thing I want to take the family to, and hopefully once the kids are a little older.
I was going to say, you can't be an active NBA player and and go to Australia. So you're going to have to save that one.
Yeah, that's we're going to save that one. And also Indian Wells is on the list. And, you know, my boy Tommy Haas is
that's
soon
right.
to be the tournament director. So he already actually invited me anytime you want to come out. So that's on the list as well. But as we know, that's in the middle of the season. So I got a few bucket lists in tennis for sure.
I saw Steve Kerr. We actually watched a few games and I'm trying to think Brendan Ingram. I don't know, one of the rookies made it out. So
nice.
next year.
Love Steve. Good dude.
Big tennis fan too.
Yeah, that's awesome. I got to talk to him about it next time.
You know who is going to sound name dropping. You know who I hit some balls with last month who's very nice player is Gordon Hayward.
Yes, so
he's
I knew that. Actually, I did not know that, and I saw a special last year on NBA TV where it's called Inside the NBA with Grant Hill and stuff, and they always do neat stories off the court with the guys. And so I was tuning in on NBA TV, just watching random one night, and it is on. So I was watching a little bit, and they said, coming up, Gordon Hayward in tennis. And I was like, what? So I was watching, and he was really good. So I reached out to him last year already, which was a couple weeks before my tourney that we have again this year. And he's like, unfortunately, I already made plans. It was the last weekend before everything starts. So he was out, and this year I tried again. But, you know, he's just made the big move to Boston,
exactly.
And I figured he's out this year for sure. And then he's like, yeah, I can't come. But I reached out to him twice, and maybe in the future he'll be in. But I did see him. He's got some nice strokes.
Nice player.
Sure.
Court in the backyard. Yeah, you're right, though. He had a busy off season. So
he has. I gave him that. He's a big move with the family too. So I'm sure he's busy.
You never had to do that, did you?
Nah, unfortunately, I didn't.
You what
know,
do you mean, unfortunately?
You know, you never know. You get to a team, and you don't know how it's going to pan out. And you know, we switched owners. I think in end of my second year. So then you never know how that's going to work out. And Mark ended up being a blessing for us, for this franchise, and for the city, and you know, just and for me, really. I mean, he's a huge fan of mine as well. Always supported me on and off the floor. Whenever there was a problem, he was always there for me. So we kind of built like a relationship. And I'm happy that he was my boss for such a long time, and I was able to, you know, accomplish some great things together.
So I want to ask you, we're catching you in, obviously this is the Monday after the U.S. Open, so we're in, you know, it's 9/11 today, and mm-hmm. you haven't played a game in about 4 months, and the tennis players at the U.S. Open always are talking about the off season. We wish it were longer. We don't have enough of an off season. What is the off season like for you, both sort of physically but also spiritually? I mean, what is your summer like? What is this off time like for a basketball player?
Well, you know, we didn't make the playoffs last season, unfortunately. So literally, my last game was almost mid-April. So off season is pretty long. We're very fortunate in basketball. You know, I know the tennis guys are just have the shortest off season ever. I mean,
it's Tuesday this year.
That's tough. But you know, we have a few months. But you know, when you're in your 20s, you basically take a few weeks off. And I was right back in the gym. I was working out. I was working out in Germany. Then I was playing national team every summer from year 20 to 30. So over 10 years, basically, every summer I played. And then once I turned 30 and got a little older, then I didn't play for a national team every summer anymore. That means I have more time. Now I have kids. We have three kids now, so that I get to spend a lot of time with in the summer. We do travel a lot now since my wife and I were both from Europe, born and raised. So we go back home, spend some time in Germany and Sweden. Went to Africa this summer for a couple of weeks because wifey has some ties there. And so we were on the road for a good 6-7 weeks and had a good time. And And we've been back a few weeks now, and I'm, you know, trying to get back in it, which is harder as you get older. You know, I turned 39 this summer, and, you know, just working my way back the last few weeks hasn't been easy. Been going hard every, like, 6 days a week now, the last 3 weeks, and just trying to get back into game shape and get ready for camp.
So 39, a generation ago, would have been, with possibly the exception of Kareem, it's unheard of. Same, you know, and in tennis, it's the same, right? Tommy's still out there at 39, yeah. Roger's 36, Venus 37.
Yeah.
What do you think it is? I mean, is it the technology? Is it the training? Is it the money that gives you incentive to not retire? I mean, what do you think it is?
Well, it might be a complete package of all of that. I'm not sure if they play for money. I mean, I'm sure they've made enough throughout their career. I think it's some of the training. I think the knowledge we have now, we didn't have 20 years ago. You know, how much of a difference training, the weight room, the stretching, the nutrition is a big part. So I think that's one major key for sure. And so guys are able to compete for a longer time, and you see some of our older players are in the NBA still able to play efficient, and obviously you're losing a step, but I think you're able to make it up by experience and just keeping your body still in good shape, and then you're able to play till your late 30s these days. That's I don't think it's anything abnormal anymore.
You ever know your body better than you know it now?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, in my 20s, you don't know anything. We, beginning, we used to have whatever cheeseburgers before games and had no problems and went out there and played. And as you get older, I think you learn more and more about your body. Okay, this is not good. Too much sugar during the season hurts my feet. And it's like, it's just little things that are crazy. So you're trying to basically, you know, eat as clean as you can and listen to your body. You know, last couple of years, I haven't really played back-to-backs. And last year, for the first time, I had some Achilles problems, so almost missed 2 months. And I mean, it's unfortunate as you get older, but it's just something you deal with every day. You get in, you have a little routine, you do your stretching, you do your strengthening, and you get some shots up, and then you kind of see how you feel from day to day and make a decision. Is today a day we push, or should we pull back a little bit? And I mean, you're kind of like, I'm sure the same with Roger and all these guys. You're in constant, you know, conversation with your trainers, with your weight coach, and like, hey, should we do a little more? Should we do a little less today? And you know, just you're in constant communication with your inner circle. What should you be doing today, and to get ready for the next tournament in their case, or for the next game in our case?
We were talking about how it's the same way. You guys say, listen, I may not play 82 games. I'll let you tell you that right now. The same way Roger took off the clay season. Yeah. You know, he didn't play between Miami and Wimbledon, and yet between the grass season. And yet, that's great. If that's going to prolong Roger Federer's career, if that's going to prolong your career, that's great, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I only played 82 maybe a couple times in my career, and that was early on. I mean, it's hard. To be ready every night, and you know, I used to be actually proud of it, playing 82, but you know, little things happen all the time, and especially once you're older, you need to be smart about it. And you know, we want to be a playoff team, always have, and so you don't kind of want to burn yourself out during the regular season. You want to kind of go into playoffs feeling pretty fresh, and so you have to see and read how your body feels, and then kind of go from there. But in Roger's case, it made sense. I mean, you played a fantastic season this year. I mean, it kind of made sense for him for sure.
What's the state of your tennis game? How are you hitting the ball?
So, you know, I love tennis. I love to play. We usually play. There were summers where wifey's actually a really good player too. So there were. Weeks where we played almost every day, you know, in the evenings. That was pre-kids. The kids changed it a little bit. We don't get to hit as much anymore, but we still love it. And this summer we traveled so much, and then with my Achilles last season, I had that scare. Mm-hmm. I didn't really want to push it too much this year. So I only played a few times actually this year, so I'm a little worried for next weekend, since I haven't put a lot of hours on the court in, but I'll still be able to hit a little bit for sure.
We're talking about your charity event on September 16th at SMU. What for people that weren't there last year? What was the highlight? You had Tommy and Andy,
man.
Ben Stiller.
We had a good time. You know, it was always I have a charity baseball game here in Dallas. I have a charity soccer match the last 2 years in Germany, and like both sports, I'm like terrible. So I'm thinking I should actually have a charity event that I get to enjoy, and I actually can do the sport a little bit. So that was always a dream of mine to put together a little tennis thing. And so last year we were able to pull it off, and we had a great time, and we had celeb support, and Andy Roddick came out, and Ben Stiller last year flew in, and John Isner came and showed us what it is as an amateur to return his serve, and everybody that was involved last year came to me and said, if you do this again, count me in. So here we are a year later doing it a second time, and had a blast. We did a dinner the Friday before, which we're doing again this year, where we raised some money. We had a little dinner and entertainment, and so it was a great weekend last year, and that's why we decided to do it again.
There was a someone whose initials are Andy Roddick told me JJ Barea is a ringer. That he said JJ Barea is the guy who was unexpectedly good.
So JJ and I always usually after the season play a couple times. His mom, growing up in Puerto Rico, was a tennis coach. So he's actually really good. He's feisty on the court. He gets everything back, and he's got some skills. And then on the other side of the spectrum, Harrison Barnes, who joined us last year for the tennis tournament, he was struggling a bit. He told me, yeah, because I asked him, you want to play? Do you want to be part? He's like, yeah, count me in. I played a little bit in college. And then I think he was a little bit overwhelmed with, we had pros. We had unbelievable players there. So he was struggling a bit. So he's not on the roster this year. But JJ was fantastic, and he's in again.
Harrison Barnes, like the guy that says, I like golf. And then he really, you can't shoot 120 at a pro.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think just the overall presence of pros there and how good the tennis really was there was a little overwhelming for him.
Well, I was thinking you've got about 3 inches on John Isner, so you're serving from a high altitude. What skills translate though? I mean, but basketball to tennis. What skills translate and what skills don't?
Well, I think I tennis was my first sport. I started playing that when I was like 4 or 5 years old because my parents were part of this tennis club, and you know there was also a social event in the evenings. They were just hanging out with their friends and us kids were just running around the tennis court all day, so that was the first sport I actually picked up, and that's why it just was always easy for me. I think the biggest thing that translated to basketball was some of the footwork, you know, early on. It came easy to me, the pivots, the quick push-offs, the change of directions. I think that in basketball, it kind of played right into my hands for a big guy. When I was young, I was always able to move well and control my body, and I think I credit some of that to the sport of tennis, that's for sure. And I don't think I have 3 inches on John. I think John might be cracking 6'10" or right around there in his serve. I think last year that was one of the most greatest experience there. You know, every amateur got to try to return his serve, and I mean he's got some heat. But I did ace him one time.
You did.
We played double one time, and he was kind of lined up on the deuce court, and I sliced him out wide, and he went by him, and he just looked at me, and I dropped my racket. I think I chest bumped my my partner. I was so fired up. So that was that's my claim to fame.
The John Isner's service game surpasses his return game. That's great though. You probably just guessed wrong, and then once you get caught off. You guessed the wrong way, and sometimes
maybe he was thinking I only got the power game. He didn't think I got the little slice in my game, so I kind of sliced it out wide, and he wasn't ready for all that.
He had a rough U.S. Open, but we're told the next great champion is going to come from Germany. Have you seen Zverev play much?
I have actually. Sasha. I watched him live one time. They have this little challenge tournament out in Irving,
right?
At the Las Colinas at the Four Seasons, and so every year when I'm in town. Last year we weren't in town at all, but a couple of years ago I went out there and he was playing. What an unbelievable talent! I mean, he's tall, he's got the baseline strokes, he got the serve. I think if anything, he could still get better at going forward. But other than that, he's going to be unbelievable, and he's going to be great for a long, long time. And so much fun to watch. Just the power game, the movement. I mean, he's got the whole package. And what I'm most surprised about is, you know, people have been saying he's going to be top 10 since he's like 14, 15, and that's a lot of pressure. But to live up to that. He's had an unbelievable, summer here, winning some tournaments, and you know, just keeping a level head. If you get so much praise at a young age, mm-hmm. I think it's hard. And he's done it. He's kept working, and here he is already. I think he's already top 10 now, right? Or did he slip back out?
No. He was, he was the fourth seed at the Open.
Yeah.
So it's been a good year.
So, he's going to be great for a long, long time.
So Sloane Stephens wins the women's title on Saturday. And everybody says it's great, good for her. We hope there's not a letdown. We hope she can deal with the pressure. We hope she still finds motivation. When you guys won the title and beat LeBron in in 2011, mm-hmm. did you feel like you came back for that next season with a different perspective? I mean, do we make too much of this business of now that they're a champion, is there going to be a letdown? I mean, was there something transformative, or was it just another season you started after you were champion?
Yeah, the struggle was real a little bit. I got to admit, we had, after we won it all, I had to play for Germany because we tried to get qualified to London. And in 2012, so I played the Euros, and I shouldn't have played that summer. I was completely exhausted. And I think in my head after that, I was like, okay, I want to get a little break. And plus, we had the lockout season. I don't know if you remember.
Right, sure, sure.
So I did let myself go a little bit and didn't train as hard as I should have. And then once the season hit, it kind of took me a little while, and my body wasn't right. So for me, that was a little hangover. Just because I've had a long summer playing for Germany, and then I didn't jump right back in it. So, but I think it's easier when you're younger. I think when you're older and you work for something so long and for 10 plus years, every year there's a disappointment. And then when you do get your goal, I think there is a little exhaling going on. But if you're young, I think you don't even know any better. You just train. And you're hungry, you want to win, more. I think it's a little harder when you're older.
The event this Saturday will be a success if what happens? You need to ace Andy Roddick this year?
Yeah. So tennis-wise, it's more for fun, obviously. That's not what it's all about.
Sure.
But, we're trying to raise as much money as we can. The proceeds this year are going to everyone who's affected by Hurricane Harvey. We're going to try to help to rebuild some of the communities down there. So success is if we make as much money as we can. I'm not sure if you heard, but Mark Cuban said
I saw that on Twitter.
He's going to match all the proceeds up to $2 million. So we're going to try to raise as much money as we can. We're going to hold Mark Cuban to his word and hopefully make him pay up. And we have a fundraiser going on Friday night at the dinner. So, you know, just hopefully making as much money as we can. And the tennis will just be a fun thing for everybody to get involved.
We've talked. Last question I wanted to ask you, which is we talk a lot about Roger Federer on this podcast and motivation and what keeps him going and where he finds successes. And I see you guys at similar points in your careers. You could say tomorrow I don't want to play anymore, and you're Hall of Famers, and it's been a great ride, but you're still finding fulfillment. What's the motivation at this point?
Well, I think I can speak for myself. Sure. It's just we still love to compete. I think, you know, it's like you lose a step, sure, but how can I still be efficient out there? How can I still help my guys, you know, win a game? Can I use some of the experience and help my teammates? And that's just fun, and it's a kick to still win and still show, okay, the young guys think, okay, I can take him easily, but you're still there, you're resisting, you use experience, and just, you know, just being able still to compete at a high level is what drives me. It's what's fun. Sure, the workouts, the summers are sometimes tough. Like I mentioned, the last few weeks, I'm in the gym like 3-4 hours in the morning, and that part of the whole deal is getting tough, and it's getting tougher. But once the season starts, I'm sure it's the same with him. Once the tournament starts, I mean, it's just, you see the fans in the stands, the atmosphere. I mean, we're gonna miss that once it's over. The competing, the you know, it's for us. It's like playing in front of a. It's like a show. You know, you love it and you live for it. And that's one day. Once that's over, we're definitely gonna miss that part.
You've got another season coming up in about 6 weeks. But first.
Yeah.
Love 15, Love 30, Love 41, your event this Saturday. Always a pleasure talking tennis.
I love it.
Thanks so much. Great sport, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it. And I'm a huge fan, always will be. And the great thing about tennis, actually, is you can play it until you're old. And, you know, I'll teach my kids to play, and hopefully we can have some battles here growing up once I'm retired, and looking forward to that. So tennis is a fun sport, and I'll always be a fan for sure.
Sport of a lifetime. And get to the Australian Open won't disappoint you. Neither will a night session at the U.S. Open.
For sure. Bucket list.
Exactly. Finish your career first. Take your time.
All right.
Thanks, Derek. Pleasure.
Okay, John. Thank you very much.
Take care.
All
right. That was a fun conversation. Dirk Nowitzki, again, his event is Saturday, September 16th at the SMU Tennis Center. We'll have the link. You can also make a contribution, even if you're not going to attend. Always nice when athletes, especially of his caliber and other sports, have an appreciation for tennis. So thanks to Dirk. That was fun. Glad we did it again this year. Thanks, as always, to Jamie Lasanti, who has... Have you recovered from the U.S. Open yet?
No. It's only Monday.
It's a grind, right? Someone said it's not a tennis tournament. It's a two-week hostage situation.
That's...
might be a little bit stark, but you did great work. I'll tell you that on live air. Thank you. All right, that does it for this week. Again, thanks to Dirk Nowitzki. We will have another guest next week. Keep the suggestions coming. Hope everyone enjoyed the U.S. Open. You can get this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever podcasts are sold. Richard Deitch says we need to say something about leaving comments or, I don't know, giving it reviews or something.
Just click the 5 stars on iTunes.
You heard it from Jamie Lasanti. All right, that does it for this week. We'll have another guest next week. Thanks for listening. I'm John Wertheim. This was the SI Tennis Channel Tennis Podcast. See you in 7 days.